This is the Music Halls of Fame podcast. This week, we honor the year in music for 1999, along with a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 1999. We also look at two of this year's nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, plus our Spotlight Hall of Fame is the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum in Nashville, Tennessee. Before we get going with the podcast, like everyone tells you, please like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell so you'll know when these podcast episodes drop, which is usually every Thursday. Now, on to this week's episode. The year was 2008. In music, Spotify started, first in Sweden before, of course, eventually going worldwide. Will.i.am created a viral song and celebrity music video using the words of then-presidential candidate Barack Obama's speeches entitled Yes, We Can. A lot of musicians and other entertainers got behind Obama, helping to propel him to the presidency later in the year over Republican Senator John McCain. Tina Turner started her 50th anniversary tour. Madonna had the biggest money-making tour for a female solo artist with $280 million made. Taylor Swift and Beyonce, of course, have both broken that record since, actually shattered it. A fire on the back lot of Universal Studios Hollywood burned down a warehouse that held master copies for artists as far back as Louis Armstrong's era. The original master copies for some of the artists, like Eminem, were in the process of being transferred to digital copies when the fire occurred. However, a decent amount of the 175,000 master copies supposedly had made it through the process at the time, sending the other melted master copies to the realm of history, never to be recovered, unfortunately. DJ AM and Travis Barker of Blink-182 were involved in a horrific private plane accident that killed four other people, including the pilot, when their private plane skidded off the runway. DJ AM would commit suicide a couple of years later, reportedly due to not being able to deal with the pain from the injuries suffered in the accident. Bands that were formed in 2008 included Chickenfoot, Clean Bandit, Fun, The Saturdays, The Swedish House Mafia, and Selena Gomez and The Scene. Scott Weiland left Velvet Revolver, groups that broke up before their inevitable reunions or announced their hiatus included Hootie and the Blowfish, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, Bauhaus, the Cheetah Girls, King Crimson, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, Digital Underground, Ministry, Social Distortion, My Chemical Romance, Big and Rich, Incubus, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Westlife, the Police, Toto, Velvet Revolver, the aforementioned, and the Spice Girls. Groups that got back together in 2008 included Ben Folds 5, Letters to Cleo, New Kids on the Block, Bad Company, Biohazard, Motley Crue, Portishead, The Counting Crows, Republica, Split Enz, Dishwalla, Dirty Vegas, Eraserheads, Jane's Addiction, The Fat Boys, Triumph, Space Hog, The Stone Temple Pilots, Stetsasonic, Yes, Ultravox, and Yazoo, or in America, Yaz. The best-selling album that year was Lil Wayne's The Carter 3. Other artists having big years included Adele, Coldplay, who had the best-selling album worldwide with Viva La Vida or Death, and All His Friends, Rick Ross, Alicia Keys, Madonna, Usher, Disturbed, Miley Cyrus, Amy Winehouse, Rihanna, Leona Lewis, Kings of Leon, Josh Groban, Taylor Swift, Janet Jackson, and soundtracks to Twilight, Mamma Mia, and High School Musical 3. Michael Jackson released a 25th anniversary edition of his album Thriller, which turned out to be the last album that was released while he was alive. There would be, of course, a bunch of albums released after he passed away a year later in 2009. The biggest single of the year was Flo Rida and T-Pain's Low. 2008 was also the year that singer Akon did a cameo on a song to help out another singer who was just starting out, Lady Gaga, on her debut single, Just Dance. 2008 was the year that people first took notice of former religious music artist Katy Perry when her first big single, I Kissed a Girl, became one of the biggest hits of the year. Other big singles were by Coldplay's Viva La Vida, Leona Lewis's Bleedin' Love, Alicia Keys' No One, Lil Wayne's Lollipop, One Republic's Apologize, Jordan Sparks and Chris Brown's No Air, Sarah Bareilles' Love Song, Usher's Love in This Club, Rihanna's Take a Bow, along with Disturbia, and also Don't Stop the Music. Rihanna had a banger year that year. Madonna with Justin Timberlake with 4 Minutes, Jason Mraz, Pink's So What, and T.I.'s Whatever You Like. In country music, one of the biggest scandals of the year was country music singer Mindy McCready confirming earlier reports that she had had an affair with baseball player Roger Clemens that started when she was 15 years old. Meanwhile, Shania Twain separated and eventually divorced her husband, superstar producer Mutt Lange, after it was found out that Mutt was having an affair with Shania's best friend. Country music superstar Ann Murray gave her last concert and then retired after 40 years of performing. As far as country albums went, Taylor Swift, Tim McGraw, and Toby Keith each had 2 albums that hit number one on the country music charts, as did albums by Kelly Pickler, Jessica Simpson, Alan Jackson, Julianne Hough, Lady A, or Lady Antebellum as they used to be known, Darius Rucker, Sugarland, Kenny Chesney, Chris Cagle, Brad Paisley, Jewel, George Strait, and a compilation called Now That's What I Call Music. Big country music singles included Carrie Underwood's All American Girl, Sugarland's All I Want to Do, Montgomery Gentry's Back When I Knew It All, and also their song Roll With Me, Kenny Chesney's Better As a Memory, and also the song Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, the Zac Brown Band's Chicken Fried, Rodney Atkins' Cleaning This Gun, Darius Rucker's Don't Think I Don't Think About It, Alan Jackson's Good Time, and Taylor Swift's iconic Love Story. In hip-hop, L.A. Reid became head of Def Jam Records after Jay-Z stepped down from the job. Twista started his own record label. Hip-hop label TVT shut down and then was brought out of bankruptcy by the Orchard record label. Jay-Z signed his $150 million 360 deal with Live Nation, meaning that Live Nation got a cut of his touring merchandise and record sales. 2008 was also the year that rapper Nate Dogg suffered 2 strokes. Another stroke would end up killing Nate Dogg in 2011. Fat Joe and 50 Cent continued beefing through the year. Meanwhile, after feuding for 3 years, Big Boy of Outkast and Killer Mike of Run the Jewels stopped their beef. Killer Mike, for those of you who forgot, started his rap career appearing on Outkast's album Stankonia. Ultra-conservative cancel culture took aim at music videos, specifically hip-hop music videos, and specifically the TV network BET for playing them. Ultra-conservatives got companies like Pepsi, General Motors, and Procter & Gamble to pull their ads from the network. Just in case you thought only liberals were into cancel culture, nope, both sides do it on the regular, and it's been going on for decades. This is nothing new. Also, if you thought that hip-hop had always been accepted in society, that has been an extremely recent thing, and it's still not accepted by people when it comes to artists being put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Big hip-hop albums that came out in 2008 included Lil Wayne's The Carter III, Jim Jones's Harlem's American Gangster, Webby's Savage Life 2, Shorty Lowe's Units in the City, T.I.'s Paper Trail, Kanye's 808s and Heartbreak, Young Jeezy's The Recession, Rocco's Self-Made, Trina's Still the Baddest, The Roots's Rising Down, Bun B's Ill Trill, Lil Mama's VYP, Flo Rida's Mail on Sunday, The Game's LAX, Ply's Definition of Real, Ludacris's Theater of the Mind, Rick Ross's Trilla, Nas's Untitled, and Snoop Dogg's Ego Trippin'. Big hip-hop singles included T.I.'s Whatever You Like, T.I. and Rihanna's Live Your Life, Lil Wayne's Lollipop, along with his hit Got Money, and also his hit A Millie. Flo Rida and T-Pain's Low, which was, of course, the biggest song of the year. Flo Rida's In the Aya, Snoop Dogg's Sensual Seduction. T-Pain's Can't Believe It, Jay-Z and T.I. Swagger Like Us, and Kanye's Love Lockdown. In dance music, the International Music Summit made its debut in Ibiza. Sonny Moore started using the Skrillex name when he started DJing in clubs. Ultra Miami Music Festival hit 10 years old. On the dance charts, Pop Dance claimed 9 of the top 10 spots with Rihanna, Beyonce, Mariah Carey, Madonna, Neo, Britney Spears, Lady Gaga, and the Pussycat Dolls dominating that chart. Bob Sinclair and Steve Edwards laid claim to the top dance club play spot with their song Together, but there were other quote-unquote legit EDM artists who had hits, like Denny Tenaglia with his song The Space Dance, Mark Picciotti's Turn It Up, Christine W's The Boss, Ultranate's Give It All You Got, Eric Prydz's Pijano, Armin van Buuren's In and Out of Love, Afrojack's Drop Down, Morgan Page's The Longest Road, Bingo Players with Get Up, The Prodigy's Invaders Must Die, Chris Lake's remix of Sia's Buttons, Prida's Rack Funk and Miami to Atlanta, Crooker's remix of Kid Cudi's Day and Night, DJ Fresh's Gold Dust, David Guetta's Love Don't Let Me Go, Bitches' Amelie, Deadmau5's Reward Is More Cheese, also his song Not Exactly, also his song Alone With You, and also his song Hi Friend, Zoo Brazil's Kids, Chase and Status's, along with Plan B's piece Pieces, Thin White Duke's remix of Madonna's Miles Away, Funkerman's Speed Up, Ferry Corsten's Are You Ready, Nadia Ali's Rapture, which was originally from her first project, Io, Hardwell's Smoke, Afrojack's Bungee, Justice's DVNO, and the Chemical Brothers' Hey Boy, Hey Girl. The top 10 DJs on DJ Mag's Top 100's DJs lists were Armin van Buuren, Tiesto, Paul van Dyk, Above and Beyond, David Guetta, Ferry Corsten, Sasha, Marcus Schultz, John Digweed, and Infected Mushroom. Rock music was in its pop-punk phase as artists like The Offspring, The All-American Rejects, and Fall Out Boy had big years. However, there was still room for more mainstream acts like Three Doors Down, Kings of Leon, and Nickelback, along with Stained, The Killers, Disturbed, and Weezer. Latin music started the year off in a bit of a funk. In fact, things were so bad that the Recording Industry Association of America lowered its bar for how many sales it took to have gold and platinum records in Latin genres. Little did they know about the explosion in Latin music that was going to happen about a decade later. Big Latin artists for 2008 included Juanes, Wisin and Yandel, Vicente Fernandez, Marc Antonio Solis, Flex, Enrique Iglesias, Aventura, Camila, K-Paz de la Sierra, and Maná. Musicals or revivals of musicals that year included Flashdance the Musical, Forbidden Broadway Goes to Rehab, Glory Days, High School Musical 2 on stage, Shrek the Musical, Toy Story the Musical, In the Heights, and South Pacific. Musicals that came out on film or on television included Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus' Best of Both Worlds concert, Cadillac Records, High School Musical 3 Senior Year, Mamma Mia, Camp Rock, and Were the World Mine. Animated musicals included Barbie and the Diamond Castle, Roadside Romeo, and The Little Mermaid, Ariel's Beginning. Dave Matthews Band member Leroy Moore passed away in an ATV accident. Guitarist Richie Edwards of the Bannock Street Preachers was declared officially dead after disappearing in 1995. Other famous artists who passed away in 2008 included Margaret Truman, not the former First Lady. Also Freddie Hubbard, Eartha Kitt, Odetta, Mitch Mitchell, Edie Adams, Jeff Healey, Richard Wright, Isaac Hayes, producer Jerry Wexler, Ronnie Drew, Johnny Griffin, Joe Stafford, Bo Diddley, Eddie Arnold, Robert Rauschenberg, Layla Genzer, Jessica Jacobs, Klaus Dinger, Norman Smith, Ivan Rebroff, Jaeger Letoff, DJ K-Swift, hip-hop producer Johnny J, MC Breed, and Henri Salvador. In award ceremonies for the music of 2008, at the Grammy Awards, Robert Plant and Alison Krauss were the big winners of the night with 5 awards. They won Album of the Year for the album Raising Sand. Record of the Year also went to them for their song Please Read the Letter. Song of the Year went to Coldplay for Viva La Vida, and Adele won Best New Artist. At the American Music Awards, Chris Brown won Artist of the Year. At the Billboard Music Awards, Taylor Swift won Artist of the Year. At the MTV Video Music Awards, Video of the Year went to Britney Spears for Piece of Me. The Soul Train Music Awards weren't held in 2008 because of a Hollywood writer's strike. Carrie Underwood, Chris Brown, Katy Perry, Alicia Keys, Kid Rock, and Flo Rida with T-Pain won the music categories at the People's Choice Awards that year. At the Eurovision Singing Contest, which was held in Belgrade, Serbia, Dima Bilan from Russia won for the song Believe. Kenny Chesney won Entertainer of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards, and Carrie Underwood won Entertainer of the Year at the Academy of Country Music Awards. Duffy won Best British Album for Rock Fairy, and Girls Aloud won Best Song for The Promise at the Brit Awards. Nickelback won Best Album for Dark Horse, while Cardinal Offshall won Best Song for Dangerous, and Sam Roberts won Artist of the Year at the Juno Awards. Apocalypso won Album of the Year for The Presets, and Gabriella Silmi won Single of the Year for Sweet About Me at the ARIA Music Awards. At the Tony Awards, In the Heights won Best Musical, and South Pacific won Best Revival of a Musical. The Pulitzer Prize for Music was won by David Lang for The Little Match Girl Passion. 2008 was also the year that Bob Dylan received a Special Music Citation Pulitzer Prize. Musically, at the Academy Awards, A.R. Rahman won Best Song for Jai Ho from the movie Slumdog Millionaire, and he also won Best Original Score for the same movie, as Slumdog Millionaire racked up a number of awards that ceremony, including Best Picture. Elbow won the Mercury Music Prize for the album The Seldom Seen Kid. The 2008 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony was held on March 8th at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, harmonica player Little Walter was inducted into the Sidemen category. Songwriting and producing team Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff were inducted into the non-performers category. That year's class of inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as performers included Leonard Cohen, the Dave Clark Five, John Mellencamp, Madonna, and this next group. In 1958, Don Wilson and Bob Bogle met when Bob was buying a car at Don's father's used car dealership. After a brief talk, they found out that they shared a love of guitars, so they eventually bought guitars and decided to form a duo. They originally called themselves the Versatones and started playing the Pacific Northwest bar and party circuit. When they went to register the Versatones' name, they found out that the name was already taken by somebody else, so Don's mother suggested another name, the Ventures. They got bassist Noki Edwards to join after seeing him perform in a nightclub, and then they recruited drummer Skip Moore. Together, they went into a recording studio and recorded a cover version of Chet Atkins' song Walk Don't Run. As they passed the record around to different radio stations, Skip Moore decided that he wanted to quit the band and work at his father's gas station, thinking that the band wasn't going to go anywhere. He decided not to take royalties from the song, again, thinking that the song was going to go nowhere as well. Instead, he went with a $25 payment for the recording session, because $25 was a lot of money back in the day. Turns out, though, that was a pretty bad business decision, as Walk Don't Run ended up selling over 1 million copies. Moore would later then try to sue to get royalties from the song, but a judge dismissed the case due to Moore already opting out of royalties in the beginning before the song became a smash hit. Again, bad business decision. always bet on yourself. Since Moore left, the band needed a drummer, so they found George Babbitt Jr. Unfortunately, George had to drop out since he wasn't old enough to play in the bars. For the record, George didn't do too badly, though. He ended up becoming a 4-star general in the United States Air Force. In fact, the band let him play drums with them over 30 years later during a gig at a military base. Howie Johnson, in the meantime, took over drumming duties. Johnson played drums with the band on their first 4 albums, even after he had gotten into a car accident that left him with spinal damage. Eventually, though, Howie had to leave the group and was replaced by drummer Mel Taylor, who put the finishing touches on what became the classic lineup. What made the Ventures worthy of being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame were a couple of things. The first was that they were one of the best-selling and most influential rock and roll instrumental groups of all time. They had 38 albums make the Billboard Albums chart, along with 6 top 40 singles. At one time, they had 5 different albums in the top 100 during the exact same week, a feat that rarely ever happened in the pre-downloading music era. They were also the first group to do concept albums, starting with 1961's album Colorful Ventures. They were also one of the pioneers of what became known as surf rock, even though they never considered themselves to be a surf rock band. Even if you don't recognize their name, you definitely know at least one of their songs. They did the theme song for the TV show Hawaii Five-0. They also had a couple of songs on the soundtrack to the movie Pulp Fiction. Presented for induction by John Fogerty of 1993 Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bob Bogle, Don Wilson, Jerry McGee, Mel Taylor, and Noki Edwards. The Ventures, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2008, and we have put a selection of their music on this week's music podcast playlist, the link to which is in the show notes. Before we go any further, we'd like to tell you that there is now a Music History in Depth podcast where we go more in depth on a few of the events that happened in music history for that particular week. The Music History in Depth podcast drops every Tuesday on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts from, as does our Music History Today podcast, which goes over the daily events in music history. The Music History Today podcast drops daily, including weekends, on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to this podcast. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame released its nominees for the Performers category for this year's induction into the next class for the Hall. This list does not include whoever they decide will be inducted into the other categories like Musical Excellence or Early Influencer. Therefore, the performers' list is as follows. Mary J. Blige, Mariah Carey, Cher, The Dave Matthews Band, Eric B. and Rakim, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Jane's Addiction, Kool and the Gang, Lenny Kravitz, Oasis, Sinead O'Connor, Ozzy Osbourne, Sade, and A Tribe Called Quest. Not a bad list at all. The good news is that you get to vote for who gets inducted, as the fan vote is a small part of the total vote. Go to rockhall.com to vote. That's rockhall.com. We will put that link in the show notes for you. You can vote for 7 artists once a day, every single day until April 26th. For the next few weeks, we're going to make the case for you to vote for an artist to be inducted. We're going to look at least 2 artists per episode until we get through the list. In fact, we've actually been doing more than a few for the last, I would say, about 3-4 weeks, so we're almost done with this list. This week, we are going to turn our attention to Jane's Addiction and Ozzy Osbourne. Let's start with Jane's Addiction. To the tail of the tape we go. In their 35-year on-and-off career, Jane's Addiction has put out 4 studio albums, 3 of which went to the top 20. They've also put out 18 singles, 18 of which went top 30 on the U.S. alternative chart, with 3 of those going to number 1. Led by lead singer Perry Farrell, Janes is one of the pioneers of alternative metal and helped to blow the doors wide open for alternative music to take over in the 1990s, with songs like Been Caught Stealing, Jane Says, and True Nature. If you were an alt-rock band in the 90s, like Smashing Pumpkins, Incubus, System of a Down, and others, then you were more than likely influenced by Jane's Addiction. Also, let's not forget that Perry Farrell helped to start something that helped out musical artists in a huge way over the past decades, the Lollapalooza Festival. They have been nominated before, but they haven't made the final list, so hopefully this will be the year that Jane's Addiction will break through. Now to Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy released 13 studio albums, 5 live albums, 7 compilation albums, and 5 EPs. Of those, 16 hit the top 40, with 9 of those 16 hitting the top 10. In his native England, Ozzy hit the top 40, with 5 of those 16 hitting the top 10. He has sold over 20 million solo albums in America. We are not counting Black Sabbath in all of this, his former band, where he is already a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Ozzy also released 65 singles. Of those, 7 hit the top 40, with 1 hitting the top 10, which was actually a guest spot on the song N.I.B. that he did with the group Primus. In England, 9 hit the top 40, with 2 of those 9 hitting the top 10, including one 2001 single, Changes, with his daughter Kelly Osbourne, going all the way up to the top spot at number 1. What is sort of surprising is that his most popular songs never did as well on the charts as you would have figured. For instance, Crazy Train didn't actually chart in America and only made it as high at number 49 in England. And yet, Crazy Train has sold over 4 million copies since it came out in 1980 and still gets played at sports stadiums everywhere to get the crowd all hyped up. Even his 80s duet, Close My Eyes Forever, with Lita Ford, only got to number 25 in the States and number 47 in England. Once you get past Ozzy's reality TV show persona and his sometimes polarizing wife Sharon Osbourne, you realize that it's actually been Ozzy, Judas Priest, Metallica, Iron Maiden, and a few other bands who have kept the heavy metal flame burning for all these decades and influencing other bands. Judas Priest and Metallica are in the hall, and Iron Maiden should be as well, eventually. So I think it's about time that Ozzy Osbourne should be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Remember, go to rockhall.com to vote. You can vote for 7 artists once a day, every day through April 26th, and we will put selections from both Ozzy and Jane's Addiction onto the music podcast playlist. Like I've said before, the link is in the show notes. This week's Spotlight Hall of Fame is the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. The Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum is located in Nashville, Tennessee, and was opened on April 1, 1967, but they started inducting members into the hall in 1961. The museum has almost 200,000 recordings and an extensive collection of memorabilia. The museum is located at 222 Fifth Avenue South and is open daily from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ticket prices are anywhere between $25 to $40 depending on packages. Kids 6 through 12 are about $16, and it is one of Nashville's biggest tourist attractions. Go to countrymusichalloffame.org for more information, along with updated ticket pricing and hours of operation, since things sometimes shift according to the weather and you have to reserve your tickets in advance. And of course, we will put that link into the show notes for you. Glenn Campbell was born on April 22, 1936 in Billstown, Arkansas. He got a guitar at the age of 4 as a gift from his uncle, who was in a band, and who taught him how to play. The family money issues were such that he had to get jobs at an early age in order to help the family make ends meet. At the age of 17, he decided that a normal job wasn't for him, so he joined his uncle's band and then formed his own band called the Western Wranglers. In 1960, the siren call of Hollywood, California came calling, and he moved there to become a session musician. He also worked at a publishing house writing songs for other artists. His session musician gigs picked up rather quickly as word got around about just how good he really was. Soon, he was appearing on records by the Beach Boys, Dean Martin, Nat King Cole, Merle Haggard, and Frank Sinatra. He met Elvis Presley while working on Viva Las Vegas and became very good friends with him. He was also one of the guitarists on the Beach Boys' legendary album, Pet Sounds. He got a solo recording contract in 1961 and released his first album, which did okay. And in the next year, Glenn released an album with Capitol Records. Over the next few years, he would release a few more albums that did basically from poor to moderate. Glenn started working on the TV shows Star Root, Shindig, and Hollywood Jamboree while he was trying to get his recording career up and running properly. When Glenn's string of low-selling albums and singles continued, Capitol Records considered dropping him, but they decided to give him one more chance. In 1966, producer Al DeLore proved to be the missing piece to Glenn's puzzle. He had a hit with a cover of Buffy St. Marie's Universal Soldier, and then had hits like Gentle on My Mind, By the Time I Get to Phoenix, I Want to Live, and Wichita Lineman. He also ended up with 4 Grammy Awards for his efforts. His song from the John Wayne movie True Grit got him 2 Academy Award nominations. From the late 1960s to the 1970s, Glenn was everywhere. He had a TV variety show, had hits like Rhinestone Cowboy and Southern Nights, and did television appearances and acting gigs. He also had a celebrity marriage to country singer Tanya Tucker, which ended with accusations of domestic abuse and substance abuse. In 2010, Glenn Campbell found out that he was in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's disease. It was announced in 2011. Glenn embarked on what would be his final tour and recording sessions. The material from those sessions wouldn't be released until 2017 as the album Adios. One of his final performances was at the Grammy Awards, and during the standing ovation that the entire audience was giving him, Kim Kardashian on camera ended up looking at her cell phone as the audience was showing Glenn Campbell respect. Kim Kardashian took a lot of heat for seemingly not caring about one of Glenn's final performances. The album Adios was released on June 9, 2017. On August 8, 2017, Glenn passed away from the effects of Alzheimer's disease. Tributes poured in from across the music community. The biggest tributes came from great guitar players who considered Glenn to be one of the greatest guitarists of all time. Glenn Campbell, inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2005, and we will put selections from his music on this week's music podcast playlist. The link, as I've said before, is in the show notes. The Music Halls of Fame podcast is part of the Music History Today Network, which can be found under Music History Today on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And also on our YouTube page under Music History Today. Thank you very much for listening.